One of the ladies I had a Bible study with, street evangelism, she was walking by, she signed up for a Bible study. Later I got together at a house with the preacher's wife and the preacher. We studied with her. Before we went over the plan of salvation, what took place was simply this. I asked her this question. Please tell me your salvation story. Why is this important? We will get into that. She wrote down how she was saved. She said the sinner's prayer at this church in California called The Rock. Mega church. Then she wrote down 3 weeks later, I was baptized after I was saved, after I said the sinner's prayer to celebrate joining The Rock Church. She wrote down her history of her salvation experience. This card has a very detailed outlining of different things. Did you say the sinner's prayer? Did you accept Jesus into your heart? Did you make a confession? If so, what was it? Did you repent to be saved? Were you baptized? Why were you baptized? How were you baptized? Were you sprinkled? It gets into nitty-gritty. Why is this important? This lady, Kelly Jensen, signed this sheet. This baptism lesson, I went over it an hour on the plan of salvation. At the end of it, we covered baptism. And guess what she said? I was baptized at the Rock Church. I must be saved. And then, so when we go over this, I go over it with her. I have her share what she wrote down. I look over what she wrote down. And I pointed out, you said the sinner's prayer and you were saved. And 3 weeks later to celebrate that you're a part of this denomination, the Rock Church, you're baptized. And she said, oh yeah, I wasn't baptized to be saved. I need to change my life. And that very day, she was baptized. She started coming to church. She was very participatory in the Bible classes, more than anybody else. And just amazing lady. And we covered her success story on Saturday morning on Success Stories. Kelly Jensen. Against street evangelism. So this is a format, any Bible lesson you do, I encourage you to make something that they can write down their quote salvation story. Because a lot of people are baptized for every reason under the sun, but not for salvation. But when they hear baptism is for salvation, they get it mixed together. And they think, because I am baptized, I must be saved. And if they're not baptized for the right reason, then they are not. So this format right here, again, we talked about this already. One step setting on salvation. You can study the plan of salvation in one setting instead of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, getting together each week, one setting. The quicker you get them grounded in truth, the better, because they're pastor, they're the priest, they're anybody, their relatives, their neighbors, their friends, their religious denominational brethren, quote unquote, can work on them. One setting thing on grounding them on a true church and Bible authority. You can download this at churchofchristevangelism.com, and it has I use other lesson materials and has all the best lesson materials I know of from evangelists that teach the plan of salvation and grounding materials. You can go to their websites and purchase the materials at this link, or you can download my materials for free. So just wanted to point that out. Just to give, if you're looking for materials, that's just an issue. Also, all the materials, all the methods we covered, you can download this book as much as you want for free online at this website. Cold Approach, Door Knocking, Street and Campus Evangelism has years of data in this. I have an 80% retention rate of keeping new converts. How I do this, the ebook is on this website, The Way of Making a Disciple. You can download it for free at this website. Very good book. I have looked in the Brotherhood for a good book about grounding new converts, keeping new converts, and I haven't found any really good resources on that. I have found good articles, but not any good books, and so this is a good book you can access. Friday, we talked about something very sad. Churches are dying out each year. In 6 years, we lost 500 churches. We're losing a lot, and one of the sources I gave, we're losing a lot of churches very quick. The ratio of churches we're losing each year, in 20 years, we've lost 200,000 Christians. Again, if you want to see that slide, it's at the website. But we covered on Friday the decline of the church in America, and it's dying out. The churches of Christ are dying out, and we can change that. There have been resurgences throughout history, and we can change things. We absolutely can. If you want this book about statistical data on the decline of the church and resources, ideas, methodologies to keep your church alive, save a church from dying, it has steps to keep your church from dying. You can download this book at the website. And again, I'm not trying to... this is all free, and once I'm gone, I'm gone. But you can have this content the rest of your life. You can use it for your church work. And if you guys want to look at this material, I will have it here, and you're welcome to keep it, look at it, use it any way you want. Just materials that are worth checking out when it comes to evangelism. Now, interesting aspect of evangelism. Oh, one last thing. I was hearing some great things about Jehovah's Witnesses. Again, I'm not saying Jehovah's Witnesses are great. I'm saying I'm hearing some great things from brethren about the Jehovah's Witnesses, that they're talking with them, that they're studying with them, they're interested in sharing truth with non-Christians. When I was doing workshop events with my evangelism group, and I was doing street evangelism, I found I was running into people, and my group was running into people, and they couldn't give ready answers about atheism. So I made these cards for my group to put in their Bibles, to mark in their Bibles, and for me to get familiar with in my head about how to refute atheism from the Bible. Science from the Bible that proves the Bible's inspired. How to refute atheism. You can download these cards and use them as bookmarks at this website. How to refute Jehovah's Witnesses from their own New World Translation Bible. It stumps them. You can mark this in your Bible. You can get their Bibles, and you can get familiar with the content, and it leaves their mouth hanging open. And so if you run into them, and you're going to run into them, they're all over the place doing evangelism. They'll give you ready answers. How to refute Mormons. I studied with Mormons. One of them left the faith. He quit coming over. He got transferred, quote unquote, because of the content I shared with him about the Book of Mormon, disproving it as inspiration. And it also gives biblical texts in connection to Mormonism. And again, you can write them in your Bible. You can get familiar with it. You can use them as bookmarks. And it's great in your discussions with Mormonism. So, like, when you're going to do these events, you're going to run into Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, atheists. You're going to run into people from Islam. I got into a discussion, me and some folks, a guy from Islam started talking to us on the street, how to prove Islam is wrong from the Quran and from the Bible. This will show that Jesus is the Christ from the Quran, and the Bible is inspired from the Quran. And so you can get familiar with this content, download this content at the website, use this content in your discussions, and how to prove to Buddhists that Jesus is the Christ from their script. So you're going to run into Buddhists and Islamists and Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and atheists. So this is just good things that if you want to have a ready answer for these groups, you can download these, quote, bookmarks, print them out, put them in your Bible to give a ready answer. And it's helpful to me when I run into these groups to be able to have some ready answers. And also I have on that site ready answers for the true church, ready answers for salvation, and other data. Now we're going to talk about cold approach and friendship evangelism. We talked about that on Friday. We talked about that on Saturday when we gave success stories from Darlene McRae. She would knock on people's doors of neighborhood, friends, people she knew, relatives, call them up, invite them over to her house for a home-cooked meal and a Bible study. And she has been getting conversions through the years doing that. That's cold approach. It's just approaching somebody you don't know very well or you know well and inviting them to a study. I go to a gym, Crunch Gym. Guess what I did? I started talking to a lady who works out there. I built a connection with her, and I invited her over to have a Bible study, young 20-something, at Darlene's house, because that's when we were doing the Bible studies, we're doing at her house. And she said yes. I was eating ice cream, Tanya's and Matt's. They serve bacon ice cream. And I was sitting outside eating ice cream, reading my Bible. This is another format of evangelism. You're reading your Bible in a public location like Starbucks or some fast food place. People will come up to you and start asking you what you're reading. And I even have a sign, sometimes a Bible study sign, join me for a Bible study. And I study my Bible with somebody, and sometimes folks come over and ask what I'm reading. I invite them to study, or I give them material if they don't have time. And so he came over, Brent, and we talked an hour. And he believes in predestination. Doesn't believe in baptism for salvation. We talked an hour. Through social media, we became friends on Facebook. I posted articles. He's been reading them through the years. Now he believes in salvation through baptism. He believes that one can fall away and go to hell after one was saved. He has changed his views. When I was at Staples, I mentioned this before, I was printing out some Bible content. I started talking to the staff lady there. She's a 20-something Ariel. And this lady, we talked, and then at the end of the conversation, it was short and sweet. At the end, I simply did this. Hey, this was important, because people tell you that you have to, this is the most simple way to do evangelism out there. You can do it anywhere, anytime, and you don't have to go to a campus. You don't have to go to the street. You don't have to go to a door and knock on it. You can do it anywhere. I said, hey, a friend of mine is having a Bible study. Would you be interested in joining us? She said yes. She gave me her number. And so this is just a simple approach. And the more you do this, when I first started doing cold approaches, inviting people to Bible studies, I wasn't very good, but the more I did it, the better I got, the easier it got, and the number shrunk from results. I could get more results by talking to less people. This is probably one of the fastest ways to do it, but this is one of the more advanced ways as well. Some more examples. Door knocking. Gilda Gomez was converted. She passed away last year. Wonderful lady. But she had some severe health issues. She had a nurse come over. This lady, Kay Baptiste, was her nurse. Gilda Gomez invited her to, while she was at the house with her, or trailer park where she lived, to have a Bible study. So I studied with her. Then Darlene McRae, the lady I told you about, older lady who invites people over to her home for a Bible study, she invited Kay Baptiste. I studied with her there. Kay Baptiste had 7 kids. Kay Baptiste was baptized. She started coming to church. Her 7 kids started coming to church, all these little kids. Sweet kids, wonderful kids, cold approach. All it took was Gilda Gomez inviting Kay Baptiste. And Gilda Gomez would not have done that without door knocking that was done. Again, and guess who did the door knocking? My mom. So there's a cause and effect. There's 2 trickle-down effects with evangelism. You save a soul, they tell somebody else, you get another soul saved. Trickle-down effect. Another part of the trickle-down effect. You save a soul, they get on the bandwagon with you, the evangelism bandwagon, the teamwork event stuff that you're doing, and you get another participant. Cindy Lumley, Pat Johnson, we talked about them on Saturday, Success Stories. They were converted through cold approach. Darlene McRae came up to Cindy Lumley, invited this lady, a neighbor, to a Bible study. She said yes. She has been converted. She's still faithful today, many years later. Pat Johnson is a relative of Darlene McRae. She invited her relative. She is saved today, many years later. Iris Stevens, Betty Murdoch, Elsie Fuhrer came to the Lord through cold approach. Coming up to somebody you don't know or you don't know very well and inviting them to church or to a Bible study. And a simple invite is this. Hey, would you like to get together for a home-cooked meal and a Bible study? They come over, you and your family, study the Bible after you eat a home-cooked meal. Or if you are a horrible cook like myself, you order pizza or something. Easy peasy. Or you invite them out to Chick-fil-A with your friend and you study the Bible with them, especially if it's a female, have another female from church present. Cheryl DeGatta, we covered that. She came to the Lord through cold approach. My mom invited her to a Bible study. After she came to church, she just didn't come to church, sit there, and walk out with nobody talking to her. She sat down. My mom sat down next to her, talked to her, befriended her, and invited her over to her home. They had a Bible study. Then they had more Bible studies. Then she came to the Lord. The lady I showed you in the last slide show, last presentation, who is at the campuses with me and doing doing flea market work with me, the Latina lady in her 40s, 50s, that's Cheryl DeGatta. She is still faithful today, many years later. We've had studies with her through the years. She loves reading her Bible, and she's a go-getter. Now, when it comes to these methods, you can do them anywhere. Apps, this is the most versatile method you can do. Once you get really good at this, even though it's one of the more advanced methods, then guess what? You can talk to five people a day or five people a week. You can talk. It's a limit. The sky is the limit. How many people you can talk to doing this? You can talk to people at the gym, at the basketball game, family, your reunion, a neighborhood park, hairdresser, dentist, babysitter, anywhere. The more comfortable, and you get the better you can do. And the book I gave you guys, it has a program. If you look in that book, at the end of the book, if you do that program. Because I was a shy introvert. I couldn't talk to anybody. I was fearful of social interaction. I got better and better, and I later put that program together. And through that program, I got desensitized, and I could talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime now with no issue. And that program helped it. It has you do exercises that help you get desensitized to talking to people. And that can help you with cold approach, but it can also help you in any social interaction venue. When it comes to this work, I want you to consider this simple truth. Could someone turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Whoever gets there, please read that. And we mentioned that on Friday, Isaiah 55, verse 11.
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you. Now, this is powerful. This is very, 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 very important. You guys are God's ambassadors. It is the fear of the Lord that causes you to want to persuade men. Christ's love should compel you, as it talks about in the Scriptures. When you're aware that this is God working in you, that it is His providence that's directing you. It's not all on you. It's not all your responsibility. You do the work and you give the rest to God. That is the freedom of doing evangelism. If it's all about you and what you can do and the results are all on your shoulders, the gospel is impotent, Jesus' message is weak, God is not going to help you. If you have that view, that mentality, evangelism is going to be very, very difficult because you're not depending on the message or depending on God. You're depending on yourself. Horse and chariots. We do not trust in horse and chariots. What does that passage say? But we trust in what? The name of the Lord. Don't trust in the strength of men or things of this life. Trust in the Lord. He is the one who gives the results. And when it comes to this, friendship evangelism, you can simply and easily do this through practice. Now, I see there's a lot of people who are married here. How did you get married? Was it arranged? Like somebody, your father and mother said, you're going to marry her, and you guys got married. No, it was you approaching that person, getting a dialogue going, getting a conversation going, and through that interaction, you gave an invite. Hey, let's get together for coffee. Networking and business. If you're going to get prospects, you don't just sit and hope people are going to, you know, connect with you. You got to interact, and then you give an invite for the product you're trying to get them connected with. in all matters of evangelism. It is about doing the interaction. And Matthew 4:19, last verse we're going to cover, Matthew 4:19. Each one of you are something. What does this verse say? Matthew 4:19. Does it say, this is a powerful passage, because I've heard Christians tell me, Christians don't have to do evangelism. I've heard a preacher tell me, Christians don't have to do evangelism. I don't have to do evangelism. I've heard that before, believe it or not. That is not the Christian life. What does Christ say? Matt, could somebody read this? Matthew chapter 4.
Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
So everyone knows what a disciple is, right? A disciple is a Christian. A Christian is a disciple. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He did evangelism. Through the years, he went from town to town, marketplace, temple, synagogue, doing evangelism. And then he tells those apostles and disciples what? He goes up to them on the Lake of Galilee, and he says, sit here and do nothing. He says, follow me, and I will make you. While they had their nets out there and the fishing boats out there, I will make you fishers. Fishers of what? Fishers of fish? Fishers of men. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you get your spiritual fishing poles out there. And what is the thing you notice about fishing? You fish, and it takes time before you get a bite. It doesn't happen instantaneously, and that is how evangelism is. It takes time. It's a process, but it works. If we want to follow the New Testament command as a church and as a people, we need to follow the Master. And the Master did evangelism, and he wants us to be fishers of men. Wow. Man, Timothy, it's 20 minutes. Time is running out. Okay, so let me mention this. Evangelism, okay, and all the material, those books and that content, feel free to take them. I will leave these as well. You can download all of this at the website, churchofchristevangelism.com, because when I'm gone, and that's it. But you can have this material, access this material, share this material, use this material as much as you want. It's all free at churchofchristevangelism.com. It's just, I want to keep what I've shared in some physical format, so that's why I keep mentioning this website. Now, when it comes to evangelism, and in all methods of evangelism, please don't forget to give it to God in prayer. What did Nehemiah do when he was building up the walls? And we're trying to build the kingdom now, the spiritual walls of the kingdom. Nehemiah prayed. He prayed to the Lord regularly for help and strength. When he first came to Jerusalem, guess what he did? He scouted out the area and he prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. Give it to him. Let him be your banner. Let him be your strength. Let him be your high tower and your fortress. There is no power without joining forces with God through joining forces with others in prayer. Have prayer warriors. Have people that will pray for this work, support you in this work in prayer, and in spiritual combat through talking with the Lord in the spiritual war you're doing for the souls. Get people behind this. Get people to support this. Dedicate time each day to pray to the Lord in the theme of soul saving. And the most powerful time I've ever had results with evangelism was this. Now, I don't say you have to do this. Believe it or not, it's hard. I fasted for a week. I prayed for a week. That was one of the most powerful times of evangelism. Now, I'm not saying fast, but if you want to amp up yourself before the Lord, there is power in fasting. Just putting that out there. When it comes to prayer, ask the church to pray for the effort. Get them to have your back. Ask your Christian friends on social media and in person to pray for you, the work you're doing. It makes a difference. The more prayer warriors, the more people praying for you, the stronger the work will become. Share your concerns with God and others who are on board with you in the prayer efforts you're being, in the things that are being done, and ask them to pray for it. Give it to God, then do your best, trust in the Lord with the rest. Yeah, if you hope God is going to help you. You believe God is going to help you. You expect it, and you just give it to Him after you pray about it. Again, I'm not saying sit there and do nothing. Pray about it. Think about it. Prepare. Be ready. Do the work. Do it. Do it consistently. But at the end of the day, after you do your very best, give it to God and let it go. That is freedom. And that makes this work much, much easier. And this is the final, final time. So if you want to share your thoughts, your questions, your feedback, your ideas, anything you want to contribute, this is the final, last time I will be with you. Anything you want to share about anything we covered on Friday, Saturday, or today on Sunday, let me know, because this is important. And let me quickly say that my evangelism strategy is and this is powerful, math is powerful, and evangelism math is very powerful. Let's say you do evangelism, and for a campus evangelism, once a month, for a couple hours fly by when you're doing campus work. You do that a couple of months, and you do that each month for a year. And let's say your goal is to save one soul, at the minimum, one soul. And you do that for 5 years. And they have family members. You save a woman, she brings her husband, they bring their kids. 5 plus 5. Let's see, the trickle-down factor, you add another 5. That's 10 people in 5 years. You do that 10 years, that's 20 people. And then trickle-down effect, you may add even more. Again, you may add less. But what I'm trying to say is this congregation can double in size. Now, if you add 5 people a year, and you add 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 in 5 years, 25, and then a trickle effect, that can be 50. Again, it could be less or more. But I'm trying to say there's power in numbers, and the more you do it, the more it will coalesce, and your more people will be added through the trickle-down effect, and the more people will be added to your team through new converts, and the more it will continue to compact and expand on itself. Evangelism is very, very, very effective. It works. Success happens when it is consistently being done, when the work is being done. Has anybody heard of Hearts on Fire by Don Humphrey? Hearts on Fire by Don Humphrey. It's an evangelism book. I encourage you, if you want to check it out, it's one of the most motivational evangelism books out there for me. Now, it's written by an institutional brother, but there's not really any teaching on institutionalism in there. It's mostly evangelistic in nature, though he does have certain phrases I don't agree with, like fellowship. But it is a very, very good book. And it talks about an interesting illustration about evangelism. What if there was a cafeteria where when all the staff members came inside, they locked the doors and nobody from the community was allowed in to partake of the food from the cafeteria? They all cooked for themselves, they all fed themselves, and they didn't want anybody they didn't have anybody from the community come in. Church is not just an internal group of people. Church is about not just feeding ourselves on Sunday spiritually from the Word of God. Church is about getting others into this group who don't know Jesus. It's about bringing people to the Lord and feeding their souls as well. Not like some cafeteria where people lock the doors and just feed themselves. Church in this day and age, though, too many times is viewed as an internal organization where it excludes and ignores the external community. And the role of the church and the role of the members is twofold: to encourage the saints on Sunday, to encourage a brotherhood, but to also reach out into the community and into the world. Too many people don't do that. Too many preachers and elders and Christians don't do that, and churches are getting smaller and smaller and dying out because of that. But this can absolutely change if people are willing to change. And I love the ideas people are sharing with me. Brother E. Jones mentioned Muscle and Shovel. Guess what? That guy, Mike Schenck, that book has converted 20,000 people in the last couple of years, people passing out that book. It's a great method. That method is something worth. There's so many methods out there. There's so many ways to do this work. And Brother Ken is talking with Jehovah's Witnesses. And that is, you know, talking with people is effective. Brother Timothy has done temple work. That is exceptional work. And it takes boldness to talk to denominationalist people. And his wife is doing that too. They mentioned they do it together. And Ijo said he did evangelism with his wife. I've heard other people say they've done door knocking with success, and other people have come to the Lord through evangelism. It absolutely does work. So this is the final time, so I'm going to close shop, unless if somebody has any questions or comments, anything they want to share. And again, if you like the stats I shared, the decline of the church and how to save a church from dying, that book is accessible. New Convert book is accessible. The Bible lesson materials are accessible at this website, churchofchristevangelism.com, as well as all the slides we've covered. And I'm excited about what this group is going to do, because Brother Timothy, man, after church, put your hands all around him. You can feel the fire. You can feel the fire. And Ken, man, ooh, he's hot. You can feel the fire. And Ijo, he's, man, get an extinguisher. No, don't get an extinguisher. He has some good fire. This is how a church should be. People on fire for God. If you do it, you do it, you do it again. Get out there and do the work. Results will come. So I'm going to wrap it up. Let's see if anybody has any questions. I'll conclude the lessons now. And thank you guys so much. Thank you, Brother Timothy. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ijo. Thank you, members here of this congregation. And thank you, visitors, for coming out and for this wonderful experience to be out here with you all. Thank you, guys. Well, sorry for asking questions. And okay, so this is something that is amazing. Now, let me, if you have any questions, any feedback, any thoughts you want to share, any ideas, any visions, success stories, anything you want to share, any ideas for the future, let me share some success stories when it comes to evangelism. It is a powerful thing. I know of this guy, Jacob Jordan. He's about he's in his 40s now. He's married, and he and his wife have done evangelism through the years. And in 1 year, he brought 20 people to the Lord and helped restore fallen saints as well. And he baptized this young guy, really good guy, a college student. And he is now a Church of Christ preacher. And he played basketball with him, and he studied the Bible with him. He talked to him about Jesus. And now he is teaching the Word of God. He's about your age right now, and just an exceptional young man. Again, evangelism absolutely works. Every time I interact with people, I hear two different groups. I hear people say, it doesn't work, and guess what those groups have done? They haven't done evangelism. Maybe once a year for 30 minutes or whatever, or an hour. And then I hear another group, and they say it works. And guess what this group has done? They have done it again and again and again, and they've got results. So it just depends who you ask. But when people say it doesn't work, if they work long enough, consistently enough, if they put in the effort and the time, results come. Now, it's an interesting thing about this. You know, in every religious text, Buddhism, Islam, in their books, you can prove that God, Jesus Christ, and the Bible is inspired. So anytime you interact with people, if you do your research and you study with folks, and they ask you a question, you're not sure what the question is, you can always say, I don't know, and get together with them later and answer that question. But anywhere in the Bible you look, you can answer that question, absolutely. And let's see. And Brother Timothy, in a couple of days, I'm going to add the content you talked to me about on the website. And that guy has fire. And I've seen couples like EJ, Ijo, And to Brother Timothy, his wife, and your wife, seeing couples that are interested in evangelism, it makes a difference when you got a spouse who is actively supporting you in this work. Absolutely.
And Joseph, I'd like to mention, we're going to try to do a door knocking campaign in the area of Rebecca's apartment where she's living, to try to reach maybe a few hundred that are there. I'm going to try to do that on Tuesday. So anybody who's interested, contact Rebecca or me, because my brother and mother are coming from Oklahoma. I'm going to try to get them to help with that effort as well. Janice is off on Tuesday, so we're going to try to
fantastic, fantastic. And door knocking is amazing. It takes work, but you can get results. Last year, we converted 9 people. So it absolutely, through, let me restate this. I didn't say this clearly or elaborate. We converted 9 people through door knocking. It works. You got to knock on a lot of doors, interact with a lot of people, but if you do that consistently and regularly, you get results. And it is... And after a while, it becomes fun. You meet people, you talk to people, you get dialogues going, and it becomes a fun process when you get used to the routine. So that sounds good. I really enjoy that. It's one of my favorite things to do, is to go door knocking with Jack. Again, he's 70-something year old, gets up at 5 a.m., reads his Bible, works out, then he comes over to me and says, "Let's get working," and he runs me into the ground doing evangelism work. And he's a door knocker. That is his main thing. And he's a go-getter. So, let's see. Yes?
We recently received mailers from one of the other big mega churches, Churches of Christ here, and they use a different approach than the gospel. They use things like food, fun, all kinds of events to get people to come, and then they hope that if they are interested in the gospel while they're there, that they will learn that as well. And so we've challenged them on this in writing, and we currently are waiting for the response. But we basically use Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation."
Absolutely.
And so when we're doing even our personal evangelism, I would think that we want to emphasize that. And I like the idea of home-cooked meal. But I would say, you know, a Bible study,
absolutely,
is the thing that we're going to do, and home cooked meal.
Absolutely, they remember Jesus, and he fed those people with the loaves and fishes, and they followed him till he quit feeding. They wanted some more, and he said no, and they left. So if you're going to try to lure people into your church building through games and fun and food, guess what happens when you take that away?
They go.
If you get them coming because of the gospel, and if you believe that is sufficient to get people involved, you preach the gospel, they stay. If you get them coming for other reasons and you stop doing that, they go. The social gospel does not work. I've heard of there's a movement coming across the United States in the Lord's churches called the Emerging Church Movement, which basically says, do social justice, give poor people money, and they'll come to church. I know of a guy who calls himself an evangelist. He goes around, gives socks to homeless people. He calls that evangelism. You can give people things. You can be nice to them. That's not sharing the gospel. The only thing that saves souls is sharing the gospel. Now, as a Christian, doing nice things is fine, but that's not evangelism. As a Christian, doing nice things is all right. It's good to be kind to people, but that's not saving souls. How you save souls is through evangelism. And a church should never sponsor social justice stuff. But be careful of this. The Emerging Church Movement basically says the Bible is flawed. Don't obey apostolic authority. All you have to do is do social justice and you're going to heaven. That is the Emerging Church Movement, and it's taking root in the Churches of Christ in some areas. There was actually a division at a church I was going to. We lost half our members because the preacher was teaching that. So that is a very serious thing. So I'm 100%. Gimmickry isn't evangelism, and it will not save souls. Remove the shiny bells and whistles, and they will go. Evangelism has to be... And this is another point. New converts. It's very easy to do this. A new convert, take them out to eat, take them out to eat a lot every week, every month. You have pay for everything, all their food. When they're hungry, pay for the groceries. You do a ton of stuff for them all the time. You drive them around town to go to the dentist, the grocery store, the mall, all the time. Guess what happens? You kill the new convert. You can kill them with kindness. It says the deceitfulness of wealth and the pleasures of this life choke out the word. If they stop looking at you as a Bible class teacher or a friend in Christ, a Christian, and they start looking at you as a meal ticket, guess what's going to happen? They're going to change their perspective from the spiritual to the secular. If you give this too much to them in their face. So that's just something to be careful of. I've lost new converts. Ricky Shanks also teaches this. He's one of the leading evangelists in this country that I know of, and he's lost new converts when he first started because he was giving them groceries, he was buying them things, driving them around town all the time. They started becoming like entitled, like they were owed this, started looking at him as somebody they could get stuff from instead of somebody where he could help them get to heaven. Start changing their spiritual perspective to secular because of money. Again, the wealth of this life can choke out the word, as it talks about that in the parables of the sowing of the seed and the pleasures of this life. So I'm not saying don't be nice. I'm not saying don't do good things to people. I'm saying in moderation, the primary focus of a Bible class teacher working with new converts is to teach them the word of God and help them get to heaven.
Well, when me and my late wife was doing that, she loved to, like you said, that lady do. So we talked there, and I said, most people are going to come over here when you say you're invited to a snack or something like that. I said, keep them covered. That's what I suggested to her. Don't even look up, people can go over to snacking, and they're going to be talking and working while you're trying to go on with the Bible class. It doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good advice. What we tend to do is we have a meal, a brief, nice meal. We talk, then we have a study afterwards. We don't do it together because, you know, you're talking about the Bible and there's a pizza in front of their face and they're focusing on the pepperoni pizza and how good it looks, and you're trying to talk to them about Jesus and the cross. You don't need competition and that's not a good approach. Absolutely. One thing first, and the hospitality is powerful. Interacting with them, Christian love is powerful. Again, not gimmickry, just let them see your life. But the main focus should be on a Bible study. After that, have them study the Word of God, get them into the Word of God, ask them questions, have them participate. There's two formats, the lectureship format, I'm not a fan of. I like, when I study with people, I like asking them questions, getting them to pay attention, getting them to think, getting them to commit for giving them answers. The lesson material I gave, basically it asks them a question, then it has them turn to the Bible verse and it answers that question. And whenever I study with people, Ricky Shanks says this too, when we go over something and they ask me something, I don't say, I think this. I don't say, this is true. I say, what does the Bible say? I take the emphasis off of me and puts the emphasis on the Bible, so that the authority should come from what the Bible is saying. So I always say, that's a good question. Let's turn to the Bible and see what it says on this matter, and I give them a Bible verse. So that's important, because it's not me that they should be adhering to. I'm not trying to make disciples after Joseph Sullivan. I'm trying to make disciples after Jesus Christ, and so I point them to Jesus and his message. What does the Bible say?
When he asked a question, everything, he just quoted the scripture to him. It's what God said.
Absolutely.
Not what I think. That's too much what preachers happen in that problem, too much what I think he's saying.
Absolutely.
And that's when you get too much I in there and less God in there.
Absolutely. Eyes don't matter. God matters and his word matters. So people shouldn't be thinking it's coming from us, but it's coming from an authoritative source, the word of God. Absolutely. Too many eyes, too many opinions, not good. Not good. Now, I've worked with young people, and so I see you have your mother and daughter? A niece. And so you can see a whole family trio right there of Christians or people that are interested in Jesus Christ. Now, I've worked with families. Now, if you get your family together, your husband, your wife, your son, or your daughter, or your niece, your nephew, you can just get a collaborate of people together, and you can make a core team through that. A spiritual family and a literal family is a powerful family dynamic work in this event. So if you're single and your wife isn't helping you out doing this, it makes it harder. But if you got your wife helping you out or your husband helping you out in this team dynamic of evangelism, it makes a powerful difference. I've heard a lot of great stories about what different folks have done. And the website I mentioned, if you go to it, you can read more stories about door-knocking successes, street evangelism successes, and a lot of different other venues of success through the years with evangelism. So any other questions? And again, thank you guys for having me come up. This is my first real time. I mean, I've driven through Houston, but I haven't really been in Houston before. And so this is my first real time from Texas, Florida. It's a really nice area. I want to mention one last thing. The site will also have infield training, a boot camp that's coming up down the road. If you want to come to Tampa, Florida and spend a week, hardcore work, it's going to be hardcore, going to campuses, doing the street. It's going to be very intensive. That's something that will happen in 2021, hopefully. That is the goal, either 2021 in February or 2022 in February. I have to put it together, so it's going to take a little bit of time. But those are the estimates on that. But and I like what was mentioned before. I think you mentioned it, and Brother Timothy mentioned it. And that is, if there's churches of Christ, conservative, faithful churches in this area, they have brethren, you can ask them if they would like to do evangelism with you. Again, give an invite, get them into your group. You ask enough people in any endeavor, and ask enough people, and somebody's going to say yes, and get them on board. And that is a powerful thing, very, very, very powerful thing. I know of a guy, Frederick Gray, he's in Tampa, Florida. He came to do street evangelism, and during the work week, it was a very intensive week, him doing that with me and Rory Spell in San Bernardino, California. He baptized 5 people. But it was, when I say it was very intensive, I mean a lot of work in that small amount of time, many, many hours. But successes are everywhere. All you have to do is look for them, and you can manufacture them yourselves through the work. So thank you, guys. And I'll leave material up there if you want to take some of the, because E. Joe was talking about Bible class materials, so I'll just leave that if you guys want to look at it. Again, there's a lot of other good Bible class materials out there, but that's just an option to pursue. Thank you guys so much for your time and doing this with y'all and your interest. It truly means a lot. And I'm so happy to have met each one of you. Thank you, guys. And thank you, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for the
rest. Absolutely.
I'm going to get you to turn
the microphone. Oh, yeah.